And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
I'm smoking a delightful cigar. It's Friday night. I'm here in Baldwin Hills with Johnny Lieberman and Zuckerman. We're here with you. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. We've just had delicious Mexican food from what's the place?
Los Anayas.
Oh, my God.
West Adams.
No, you don't have to tell them. Then no one's going to show up over there. But
yeah,
it was good,
people
Zuckerman.
Know.
Thank you. We just lit up these amazing cigars. It's a 2009 Tatois.
It's a La Verite. So it's
Boy.
Truth. And the idea of this one is like, you know how wine has terroir, so it matters where the grapes are grown? So this is grown like in a particular tobacco field that's supposedly exceptional. 12-year-old cigars, yellow cellophane. Please enjoy it.
It's a Tex Avery length cigar, too. Very cartoony and long.
It's a Churchill. It's a 7x47, so, you know, it's a good length.
We will be still smoking it when the podcast ends, and Zuckerman will be trying to kick us out, and we'll only be halfway through this cigar. And Zuckerman's already upset about the smoke. All right.
I said.
Just switch mics. Zuckerman is a big baby when it comes to. He's vaccinated at this point. Not that it matters.
Yeah, this
is it. Well, this is great. This is a great show so far.
Playing musical chairs like Jewish people going to a Chinese restaurant.
Hey, go sit down. Now they're moving around.
Table. How about that table?
Anyway, we're happy to be with you all. We've got a great show for you. It's just us today. We're just going to talk about cars. A lot of stuff going on. First thing I want to just throw it to you, Johnny, because I don't want to be an unreasonable guy, and you're an automotive journalist with you're a veteran. Your guy has been around for a long time. You know the story of my Land Rover, right?
I do. Great truck.
We love the Defender, but I ordered it with the Explorer kit, and it didn't come with the Explorer kit, and they said, don't worry, we'll get you one, we'll source one. And then the Land Rover PR people jumped in. They said, we'll find this for you, we'll supply it for you.
A promise.
And I said, well, that's important because the truck is about 10 months late. I ordered it. I needed it last March, and I didn't get it. But most importantly, I got canoes and things, and I need that rack, and I've got a... And my kids are looking at me cross-eyed. They're like, Dad, the only reason we wanted this thing was for the rack and the Explorer pack and the rest of it. I said, Land Rover got us covered.
They promised.
They promised. Well,
they
guess
made
what?
A promise.
Oh, what?
Well, guess what?
What? Now,
and this is why I'm bringing it up to you, because I don't know if I should be as upset as I'm upset. But I consider myself not just a fan, but an ambassador of the brand. I've helped them out with their PR. I go to their events. I have a series tour. I love the truck, and I'm a little heartbroken by the fact that they called me up the other day. They said, look, Land Rover, the global entity, isn't going to do anything. Land Rover.
They broke their promise.
Land Rover North America is going to try to source this Explorer pack for you, right? And I said, good. They called a few days later. They go, we got it. We're going to get it to the dealer, but you got to pay $8,000 for it.
I cry bullshit.
And I said, look, it's a lease truck. Why am I buying parts for a lease truck that, by the way, I ordered when I ordered the truck, and then no one called me. They just delivered the truck without the pieces on it. And he said, well, there's nothing we can do. And, you know, it starts to blur the line between Land Rover North America and the dealership, Cole European, who you know, I liked up until this point. So, I called Ben Roger, who is new doing PR for them. Just started a month ago. He's the guy who said, I'm going to get this thing done. He said, look, he goes, we're having a little bit of an issue. What pieces of this are really important? Let me try and source that for you. And I said, look, I need the rack. Don't care about the snorkel. It's cool, but I'll let it go. I need the rack. I like that sticker on the front hood. I'm going to look at that. I'll get some enjoyment out of that. And I need the ladder so I can get this canoe and the other stuff on top of the rack. That's it. Leave it at that. He goes, I'm going to handle that.
Promise.
He calls back and he goes, look. He goes, I'll get it. Get it done this week. It's only going to be $4,000. and you gotta bring it down to Hornburg in Santa Monica. And I'm like, well, okay,
favors
Ben.
Like that are no favors
I go,
at all.
Ben, at this point...
Well, I hope.
Are you just making phone calls for me? Is that what Land Rover's doing?
I hope that when this podcast goes out, somebody at Land Rover is realizing the burn factor, the negative publicity they're getting from not comping you $8,000.
It's heartbreaking because I love this the truck and
you
I love this brand.
It.
But here's you know.
Look, this is here's
I'm a little
thing.
Angry about it, but wait, before you weigh in, let's assume just I'm a regular guy who ordered a Defender. Then, you know, you order it and it shows up and half the stuff isn't on it. And then they play this game. And now you're caught in this situation where am I going to really spend $8,000 on a truck I'm going to turn over? They're going to tell me, well, you can keep the stuff. Yeah. And I'll be like, well, what am I doing with it after I'm done with the lease?
Okay,
what,
it's a burn.
Johnny,
let me tell
am I being privileged? Am I being problematic?
I'll tell you what's happening and then I'll tell you
who's
at fault. Okay, so what's happening is between Brexit and COVID and the demand for like the hottest SUV in the market now, they don't have anything. So like they just there's no parts.
Oh, they have these parts. They do have the parts.
Money.
Yeah, yeah, money. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So this is the real issue is the dealer has bent you over because if you, I'd have to look at your lease dealer or whatever. But if the Monroney says it's included in the price and you're paying the monthly payments, they owe it to you.
No, like, no. I spec'd this guy out from new. I said, here's what I need it to be. And he placed that order. The Monroney reflects what they sent back, of course, without that.
You accepted it. Yeah.
But still. So, no. Okay. I accepted it with the promise like, hey, when this stuff comes in,
so,
they'll take care of it.
So you got to get, don't go to the PR guy that's been there 1 month. You want to go to like his boss's boss.
Well, no, it wasn't just them. It was, we talked about it on the show and some of the guys that work at the factory were like, hey, do you want this handled? The question is less about the deal with the dealership. Yes, I could have managed that better and whatever. It's really like, do you not want to? Don't I deserve help?
Because
I am who I am and an ambassador of their brand, don't I?
I don't
deserve,
know. I don't know
like,
about that part, but the fact that they stepped in and told you they'd take care of it, they now have to take care
of it. They
made
a promise.
That's what
PR. They're gonna make
what,
good.
That's what PR does.
I don't think they're going to, and I don't think they care. And you know,
well,
as a result,
and when they blame everybody, listen, when they're taking your money, they know how everything works just fine between the dealership, Land Rover North America, and the factory. That's not a problem when they get the money. When it comes time to deliver, everybody's pointing at the other guy.
Yeah,
I hate that shit.
And I will say that Cole European and Dean sources truck. Uh-huh. He said, look, if you're going to accept it like that, just know you might be in this situation. And he was upfront about that. And I said, yeah, I know. I'll figure it out. And it's only lately. And it's a junior thing. Like, you never overpromise somebody something like this. You underpromise it.
Yes.
That first call should be, I don't know if we can fix this, but let me try. I'm sorry we couldn't. Instead, it was, we're going to get this done for you. And now it's like, hey, we'll make the phone calls for you.
Overpromise.
But you got to drive the truck and pay down at the dealer for all the shit.
Yeah. And it's crazy that they even ask you that for a lease. That's the part.
And it's a lease.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the lease, do you get $8,000 worth of parts
but,
off
you know,
the truck?
I mean, forgive me, but on occasion I'm paid for my social media and it's beyond the price they're asking and the number of posts that I will do with that stuff and I've already done for their Defender.
Sure. Yeah,
they're already making money.
Trust me. And they're
so
aware
that's what
of that.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. No,
look at Zuckerman.
I'm disgusted.
I think...
I'm fucking disgusted.
I am so fake disgusted.
Because I
he's checking his phone. He's reading messages.
If
he's not even listening.
Zuckerman's not listening. But Land Rover, if you're listening, if they inserted themselves, it's on them. They can't leave you hanging. You do a lot for the brand. And they inserted themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's on them.
It's on them. Okay.
Okay.
Well, there it is.
I say.
Well, let's see how this turns out. Because I'll tell you. On the drive over here, I thought, well, maybe it's Bronco time instead because I was picking between the Bronco and the Defender.
You want to deal with Ford?
No, but I don't want to get in a truck that makes me angry every time I drive
the only
it.
Thing
and
I'll
up
say
until
is,
tonight, I was loving life in that thing.
The
I love it.
The only thing I'll say is once you put that roof rack on there, you'll hate it. Because
it's noisy, right?
Yeah, it's like 55 to 75 miles an hour. It sounds like a plane is landing on, like a Cessna is on your roof.
See, that sounds great to me. And you can't go into parking garages
anymore. No, yeah. It totally
but again, this
useless.
Is to go to Reno. This is to go. I have uses for this thing.
Maybe, you know, like Paul.
You're going to go to Reno.
See, Paul.
You're going to go to Reno.
Like, no, Tahoe. Sorry.
Paul, but like Jews don't have this problem, right? We're not taking kayaks anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. No, Jews don't have.
What do you mean?
We don't do that shit.
What do they do with the kayak?
We're going to go get somewhere and go get drowned. It's going to be like Deliverance where they find you bent up over a rock. Your neck is busted.
Yeah, yeah. No one's what are you doing with a kayak? What are you going to?
I'll see what these guys.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, Jews would never have the roof rack issue.
I am a quarter Jew.
Well, are you? Mr. Kayak.
It's a canoe. And
no,
I like
Jew,
the words.
Like Jew canoes.
Jew canoes, Jaguars, and Cadillacs.
Wow. Listen to this. This reverse racism directed at me, the mostly Irish.
You're not fitting in here.
If you think about it, it's directed at us.
Yes.
Jews run the podcast world.
They run the whole world.
And they hate canoes.
How's your space lasers doing?
This is good. Unbelievable.
Good.
Mocking you.
What's that?
We're mocking you, and it's
you
fun.
Can mock me. It's fine. What else do I want to talk about? Just quickly, Fireball, Tim, and I are doing a coloring book together. I talked to him, Zuckerman, today. It's going to be great. It's going to be my favorite cars. It's going to be the Spike First and coloring book. And I'm whetting the appetite of the audience. We were going to do it at the end of the year. Now we're going to put it out in April. It's going to have a crossword puzzle in it, filled with Spike First and in car trivia. And my favorite cars. I think my favorite 15 cars, not necessarily Porsches, my favorite 3 watches, and then...
Just so the kids won.
Some other things. Apparently they did. I don't know. He wants it to be a reflection of me and what I like, and he suggested those things. I like that idea. And Fireball is like, you know, he's half in the entertainment world and car world like me. I didn't really feel the need to do a coloring book, but since, you know, our listeners, and I think wrongly motivated by myself, tried to assassinate him in a Fireball insurrection back in the day with a car show, I felt awkward and bad about that. And in getting to know Fireball, I like him. And he's, you know, he worked on Knight Rider, the reboot. He does art design for Jurassic Park and
I'd
the
leave
Batman.
I'd leave that reboot part out, but yeah.
But it's cool.
So, I want a coloring book.
I'll give one to my kid.
Huh?
Will he do one with me?
The Zuckerman.
I want to do Sunset Boulevard in the 80s.
No, we should put a Zuckerman in there.
Heights, Hookers, Pimps, and Johns, and all the cars.
What about the Zuckerman? Just a big Zuckerman face to color in.
With the liver spots.
Color Zuckerman.
The broken capillaries.
Yeah. Oh, or it's just your torso, your thorax, just standing there, no head. Color his stomach.
I could watch that. I'd color that.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll add that to it. So anyways, just want to alert you to that. Apparently that helps with sales, the sales alert of the Spike First and coloring book, which I guarantee you I will be mocked, but I'm excited about it. But let's talk about Bugattis.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to complain. Last time I got the Chiron Sport, it was just me. I'm on the internet. That was a pass around this week with Bugatti. They just gave it to everybody, including you, Johnny.
They gave it to Magnus. You know how you said I was going to get a ride? I saw Magnus over there at Ogara. I walked over to say hello, and the driver dude who supposedly knows about me and is going to give me a ride looked at me like I was insane.
That was a different guy. A different guy. What was his name?
Jamie,
right, right.
Yeah.
That wasn't Butch.
No, it was not Butch. Right.
Butch knows about
Butch
it. I know, but
Butch
I thought
stuck
about
in
that.
Europe or something.
They should have had you over there. And did you see the car?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I drove it. My God.
Well, let's talk about it. It's the pure sport. 0-60, 2.3 seconds.
Probably quicker.
Top speed is a little slower. It's 218.
Yeah, but who cares?
124 miles an hour, 5.9 seconds. 186 in 12 seconds.
Yeah,
they're making 60.
By the way, I think it's quicker than all those numbers, and we can get to that, but it's ferociously quick.
Well, let's talk about it since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
When Jamie did the first run, 0-60, he said, let me get on it first before you start driving it, my sunglasses flew off my face. And they were not on top of my head. They were in front of my eyes. And he laughed. He goes, that happens a lot. I forgot to tell you, which he didn't. This is a throw the sunglasses off your face acceleration.
Yeah.
I've never felt anything like it. Did you have a similar experience?
My glasses stayed on, but I was driving. but no, there's nothing.
Stayed on when I was driving, too.
Yeah, because you're ready for it. But no, there's nothing.
It was violent acceleration, so your head is back. And then your body starts to leave the passenger seat and move towards the rear glass.
But that car, like, you know, I bet you it's actually quicker. Because this thing has 15% shorter gears than the Sport. And the Sport is the only one that's been tested by a third party. And they got, like, 2.3 seconds. By the way, a current 911 Turbo does 60 in 2.3 seconds. But because this thing has the shorter gears, I bet you it's quicker. But that's not even that impressive. The impressive part is I drove up to Newcomb's. A couple of different times I looked down and saw 140 miles an hour, which I took the 765 up, and like the fastest I saw on Angeles Crest was 129. And one of the spots where I saw 140 was the big straight. And if there was a truck at the end, so I broke early, but I would have hit 180.
Easy. Yeah. Easy. We did 130 on Sepulveda in the space of two city blocks.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry, you have up to there. I go, that's not a lot of space. It's like a football field. He goes, you'll be fine. And then, boom, it just jams.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, but that one, unlike the Sport, because I got to drive both of them back to back, unlike the Sport, it handles incredibly well. It's like super tied down in the front. It has, you know, negative 2.5 degrees of camber on all four tires. But when you're turning, it's just like this muscly little, just awesome thing. It's
let's
just great.
Let's just some basics, because I was a little confused. Okay. The Chiron range of cars is the Chiron.
Which is done. No more Chiron.
The Chiron Sport.
That's in production.
The Pure Sport. And then there's a Super Sport?
No, there's the 300 mile per hour, and there's the Devo.
Come on.
What?
How many of these are they making?
But 500 I thought there total. Were three.
Will they sell all?
I thought there were four versions of the Chiron.
Look, there's the Devo.
I thought there was the Pure Sport and then the Super Sport.
They haven't. I don't know about this. They have the 300 mile per hour car.
Okay.
It might be maybe they're.
No, I'm just talking about Chirons, because I was generally the Chiron, confused about this.
It's called like Chiron 300 miles an hour.
Okay,
plus
maybe that's
or
it. This car to me, and you know, not knowing more about it, felt like what a GT3 is to a 911, like agility and fun and turning, not necessarily a track car, but more track-focused street car, right?
I mean, yeah, totally.
It was way more fun. It sounded better than just the Chiron Sport.
Yeah, the Golf is like going from like a 996 GT3 to like a 991 GT2 RS. Like, that's the Golf in performance and handling. It's massive.
Right.
And they didn't do that much. The shorter gears, they took 110 pounds out. And then the camber of the wheels, but they stiffened up a ton of the suspension. It just works. It's annoying because it's $4 million. So it's, you know,
but it does, right?
It works. That's the annoying part. But it kind of, again, no one's ever going to touch them or drive them, but it kind of makes other cars almost in terms of performance irrelevant. Like I remember again, driving that 765, which I thought was the
what
quickest.
Are you saying, Zach?
I
mean, you don't.
No, I'm seeing you ashing on the upholstery on the chair, and then trying to rub it in.
I was trying to rub it in. I was mid-flow.
I understand, but he's like...
I didn't ash. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is.
You know what I think it was?
I think it was from my shoe.
You got your foot on Schmutz. The chair. You put your shoe on
well,
the new
Well, you have white
furniture.
Cushions.
Yes, I didn't realize that would be too much for you. But go ahead. But I see you like sneakily, like a little kid trying to move cushions, hide it.
No. I was trying to see what I did so I didn't do it again.
I'd like to get back
apologize.
To the 1500 horsepower
please,
part.
Please, and we'll stop squabbling.
You should put plastic on.
Like my grandma Selma.
Anyways, very, very good car. Very good
It
car.
Is a good car.
Yeah, it's
and
really
it,
good. It's
you know,
really good.
It, like I've said before, it surprised me. Everything I thought it was, it wasn't. And it's a beautiful thing. And I, you know, I
and
thought
it makes a lot of sense because
I would get this Pure Sport. That's the one really when I went, oh my.
Yeah, because
and did you have the experience where you can drive and talk?
Yeah.
To Jane, you know, and you could use this car.
And, you know, there's a couple of cool things. So one is like, you know, there's a 300 mile per hour version. Well, you know, in my career, I spent a lot of time trying to get to 200, and I've done it like six times. It's impossible to do.
Right.
You're never going to get to 300 or even like 250.
Would you do that?
Where did I do that?
Where would you get to 300? Where would it even be remotely possible?
If you paid $40,000 to shut down like a 12 mile stretch of road, you could do it. It's a lot of cops you're hiring. You could, if you could somehow get on the Volkswagen test track, Aralesson, maybe you could. That's where they went 300.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's nowhere on earth, you know, a 15,000 foot runway, which is about the longest runway in the world. I don't think that's enough. So the top speeds are in.
Yeah, we ran out of room in Berlin with a Carrera GT and did 204, and then you're using every bit of that runway, and then. Yeah. Better stop.
There's, I know a couple roads, and there's one stretch of Autobahn between Wolfsburg and Berlin that's like dead ass straight into East Germany.
It seems stupid to go 300. 200 was frightening
really
anyways.
It's really dumb on a public road.
But I agree. Let me ask a dumb comparative question. Comparative values. You could get a 550 Spider, or you could get one of these cars.
I would get one of these.
One of these.
Absolutely.
With no hesitation. A real 550 Spider?
A real 550 Spider.
You would drive this more, Zuckerman. You would get more enjoyment out of it. You would look at the 550 more, maybe, but...
Here's the thing. If you can afford that, you have both. The average Bugatti owner, 80 cars okay. and a 60-foot
But it's a valid question, but I'm telling you, the thing that you and I love about cars, and it's separate value, any of the value of any of the cars, is do we like to drive them?
Yeah.
And this is a thing you like to drive. Like, I like to drive it a lot.
Can you get it into a supermarket parking lot?
Yes. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, totally.
It's got a little lift on it.
I parked it in an underground garage when I was done with it. It's simple. But
here's the one major impediment is the way the world reacts to it. It's you are Tom Cruise walking into a mall. Yeah. You know, the people will just be on you the whole time.
I've seen him
like
at dinner.
Pagani guy.
Crazy.
Did you see that shot up at the gas station I put last night there? I didn't catch it, but just as he parked and pumped his gas, then about 20 teenagers were just all over the car the whole time.
We had people like constantly on us.
Right, in the
middle of nowhere, they were coming. But
that's not a positive. You don't want that a lot.
Not when you want to go 200. You don't want people
not when
around
you want
to
go shopping, and also when you don't want to talk to people.
Shopping though, but yeah,
I would take you. Know I would, right?
I mean,
I would tag you in that. I'd go look.
It has a bigger trunk than the Veyron. I'll give it.
It
that.
Does.
Yeah, much bigger. But I the one other thing I really was impressed by was, you know, the interior. In 50 years, it won't look a day old. There's no screens. There's no nothing to age it. And it's really brilliant.
It's funny.
This is what I was saying about
Ferrari and one of our
Roma.
Prior ones.
Yeah.
What is that screen going to look like in 10 years? Take a look at a 997 screen now. Mm-hmm. It looks so ridiculous and antiquated.
Yeah.
This
is brilliant. It just has four knobs in the center. That's it. It's like HVAC controls.
Yeah, you can Bluetooth your phone, I think. And you could easily roll a call in there, but you're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
And that's
fine. It has a little tiny screen, which is just showing like engine stuff. You can make it say the radio station or whatever.
But what does a Veyron cost now?
They've held their value. They're $1 million, and then the subsequent ones go up. Like a Vitesse is probably $2.5 million, which was the.
Do you think these
one.
Will depreciate?
No, not the.
They'll
Pure
never
Sport.
Depreciate.
The Pure Sport, not a nickel. No way. There's gonna be. I mean,
there's 60.
There's 60 or 40, whatever it was.
60.
And no, how would it depreciate? And
it would go down.
It's not going to die. I mean, look, yes, it might depreciate, but when it drops to 3.8, buy it. You know,
right. It has to
it's
at some
a
point.
Steal. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, no, it's a brilliant car. I was kind of very pleasantly surprised.
Me
I spent,
too.
I spent
me
all
too.
Day yesterday just going like, "Fuck me."
I know.
I kept looking at the pictures like, "Fuck me."
It's good. It's aspirational. It's the car biz. I like that. I get excited when I drive something they can't afford, and then I'm like, "That's good." I like it. It helps me work harder.
My buddy, do you know Misha Mansour? He's been doing Ferris podcast. Friend of mine. He's got like a Performante GT3, blah blah blah. Big rock star if you're into heavy metal. So he pulls up in his Performante to look at it, and he's like, "Fuck, I want it." And I'm like, "You know, it's like more than 10 times what your Lambo
right,
costs."
Right.
He's like, "Yeah, but if I could get there," you know, thinking about it.
Does he have a GT3 Touring as well? Is that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I like
him. You should have him on your podcast. Good dude.
Just because I like somebody doesn't mean I have to put him on
Mansour?
This.
He's good.
What's that?
He's Jewish, Mansour?
His dad is Meritrean and his mom's French Jew or something like that. He's great. You'd love him.
Okay.
This is fascinating. Let's talk about
Zuckerman. I tried.
Policy Genius is our sponsor for this episode. Did you come along with a real story of insurance?
I have a real story.
Hell?
Yes.
I don't know if it interfaces with this ad, but let's do your version of that instead. It'll be funnier. Here's a real, what do we call this segment? Zuckerman's real stories.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about an insurance case I have.
Wait, you got to set up the segment.
Okay,
what do you call it? What are you going to call it? Zuckerman's...
I don't know. You're the idea man. You're the writer.
Real stories from insurance hell.
Okay, Zuckerman's banana peel law. Okay,
stories.
Stories.
Sponsored by Policy Genius. Go ahead.
I had my own practice for about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm waiting for the big case to come in. And I hear there's been a terrific accident on the 5 freeway going to San Diego. 7 cars have been involved. A big trucking company started the whole thing. Yeah. And somebody's going to refer me a case. There's a couple dead people. There's a paralyzed person. Whoa. There's some real action.
I'm going to get pizza tonight.
Exactly. Okay. And on that subject.
Corpses? We got corpses.
We got corpses.
Get the shrimp. Order me 2 pounds of shrimp. Steaks.
The guy that I get.
Porterhouse steak and french fries.
He's this Italian guy, Fabrizio. He was driving a mozzarella truck and a little van full of wet mozzarella. And he turned over and he hurt his thumb. And I get the guy with a hurt thumb and busted mozzarella. And that's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Where's my corpses?
Fabrizio, what am I going to do with this? And he goes, the thumb is what separates us from the monkey. And I got mozzarella and monkeys. And I have to go to court. And there's all these serious lawyers. My client was dead. My client's got paralysis. My client had life-altering injuries. My client has a hurt thumb that he can't shove up his ass.
Now people think also, he's a monkey.
Because of the thing is, that's not what separates us from monkeys. They also have thumbs. Yeah
exactly. So that's okay.
That's
so,
a real story from the insurance world, I guess. Let me read this ad. It's February still, the shortest month of the year, meaning you've got slightly less time to check off your February to-dos. Luckily, Policy Genius can help you with 2 birds. They're going to help you kill 2 birds with 1 stone, compare home and auto insurance rates, and save up to $1,055 per year by reshopping. That's money you can put towards things you care about, whatever that may be. Here's how it works. First, you go to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property, then Policy Genius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from over 30 insurers, from Progressive to Nationwide, to find your lowest quotes. It is good. You combine it. You wrap it up together, homeowning and auto. Get down there. If you're worried that March is around the corner, you've barely gotten anything done, take a deep breath. Policy Genius will help you make the most of this short month in minutes. Reshop your home and auto insurance, and you could save $1,055. Head to PolicyGenius.com. Get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Keep
your mozzarella.
What?
Ensure your mozzarella truck.
So did you get that guy money?
I did. But everybody else got millions.
How much do you get for a thumb?
Trust me. I was the schmuck of the group. I had the guy. I had the crazy.
I got bad news for you. You're still the schmuck of the group right now. It's like I'm Where's like my mozzarella truck? What is a mozzarella truck?
It's like the little van that he was delivering the fresh mozzarella in.
He's looking around.
It had like an early wrap on it.
Do you think that guy broke his own thumb when he saw the death around him and just thought, let me get in on this?
He was holding his hand. Remember the Pope of Greenwich Village? They took my thumb. He acted like that.
Oh, Jesus.
He acted like that.
Well, that was fun. We have a new GT3, gentlemen. Let me throw out some stats. Everybody and their mother posted a picture of this new GT3 4-liter engine, 502 horsepower, 9K tech, as expected, front-wheel drive, 0 to 60.
I was paying attention. Not front, go ahead.
That's good.
Yeah, rear.
We heard
0 to 60, 3.2 seconds. Top speed, probably 197. Quicker. Who cares? Swan neck wing.
Yeah.
Upside down, some say.
Excellent.
Adjustable.
Downforce. Yes.
150% more downforce. Yes. Isn't
important.
That wild?
That's important.
They say there'll be a Touring in the
Which
articles.
Which is so stupid because then you'll lose all that great downforce. But go ahead. You can get your
And the car is amazing, by the way, and Annie Pruninger, congratulations. But the dumb watch that comes with the car, there's a GT3 watch that actually is kind of nice looking. It's a very nice looking watch.
The Porsche watches are getting nice. They actually emailed me.
But wait. You can't get it unless you get the GT3. And we can start there because I think that is a mistake.
Silly gimmick.
We're the GT3 crowd right here. We're not going to wear the watch on the same day we drive the car. But as a Porsche fan who's probably going to get this car, I also like I think that watch should be available to anybody who wants it. To wear, not when you drive matchy-matchy the GT3 and go, look at my watch. It doesn't do anything for you there. Just as a nicely designed Porsche watch.
I think this is the difference between Europeans and Americans. Because I can't tell you how many times I've like been at the gas station of the Nürburgring. Yes, I've been there a lot. And a guy in his Audi pulls up, gets out. He's wearing an Audi like windbreaker and an Audi hat. And he doesn't work for Audi. He owns an Audi. And like, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing my Audi hat in my Audi. In fact, when I had an Audi, they gave me an Audi hat, and I got rid of it because I didn't, you know. So I think they're going to
have extra watches.
I think German sensibility is like, oh, very cool.
I'm willing to do everything.
I don't think so. I think they'll sell 10 of those, and then they're going to have to open up to the rest of the world because there are lots of people who can't afford a GT3 who might want to watch.
But it's going to be like a $5,000-$6,000 watch. So that's kind of like GT3
customers. Yeah, but that's their $200,000 car.
Yeah. I'm just saying people that buy it. Anyways.
I just don't like that they're only selling that watch. You have to buy the car to get the watch. I don't get it.
See, what I'm maybe more worried about is it's kind of the first GT3 that's not the best looking 911 variant. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you look at the 991 GT3, it's gorgeous. The front is gorgeous. This one is not pretty.
Let's start with that. What did you think about how it looked?
I'm always a little off on anything new. I'm not used to it. It's jarring to me. And I just can't get my mind around it. But I'm always that way.
I can't say that I've ever looked at a brand new GT3 and gone, oh my God. It's usually after I drive it where I say, oh my God, and then get accustomed to the looks.
I think they've always been the best looking. And I remember talking with Andy, I was at the launch of the 991.2 GT3. And he was given the whole spiel about how it's faster than this and this and this. It's got this. And then he goes, and it's the best looking 911. And I was
That's such a weird thing to say.
Right. And he's right, though. And this one, it's got like an intake for a front end. Then it has the little mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's got like the diffuser.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I just didn't like the color they debuted it in.
Oh, the shark blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's a color family that I love, but it didn't quite work on this car. But when I saw the car moving and heard it, I went bonkers.
When I heard it was 17 seconds faster a lap of the Nürburgring than the old one. And the old one's about the best car I've ever driven.
Yes.
Like, that's pretty neat. You know?
Yeah. And someone wrote stun gun-like shifting. Of the PDK and that sound.
That's a nice
it was
term.
A nice sentence, and I got excited about it. And the extra downforce. I don't know. I think I would get something. I'd get the winged variant this time, Zuckerman.
Well, let me talk. Can I break a little news on your podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Break a little
what
news?
Do you got?
Okay. So to go 17 seconds faster a lap basically means stiffer suspension. And so, you know, it's a little bit slower than the GT3 RS, which, you know, has like whatever. 20 more horsepower. So the GT3 is going to ride harder than the 991 GT3. Mm-hmm. The current one, the Touring, they take the wing off, and that's all they change. Despite what anyone says, you talk to Andy, and he's like, no, there's nothing different. It's literally, it's a GT3 with the wing cut off and a manual. That's what the Touring is. The 992 Touring, here's the news, they're going to soften it because obviously if you don't have a wing, you don't care about your lap times. So why have this stiff, miserable ride? And it may not be stiff and miserable, but it'll be, you know. So there will actually be a reason to get a Touring or a reason to get a regular 993.
Well, yeah. I like hearing that.
Are they going to make a GTS then?
But GTS is not. That's actually not GT division. That's still just a mainstream Porsche. Yeah, of course it will.
It kind of makes it redundant.
I always felt that the 991 GT3 was a little softer in a way than the 997.
It was, for sure.
And I didn't like that. If I want a GT3, I want something to feel like a GT3.
Right.
Yeah. And they definitely made the 991 softer, 100%. Yeah.
Have you heard about other special variants coming down the line?
Or supercars.
No, I'm trying to think. Not really.
Supercars.
Enlighten me.
I don't.
Oh.
I can't. But I know there are things.
Okay.
There are things coming.
I know something.
But I wish I actually don't have any special knowledge of anything other than I know there are things coming, special things coming. And that gets me excited. But I don't know. The GT3, you know. It didn't feel like a party to me, the release of this one. I'm excited to drive it. But
I mean, I think you're seeing what happens when you launch cars in COVID.
It's just we drive special. The end of the line is usually where we're most excited.
Sure, me and Zuckerman.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting excited about. Like, what things do they have?
I still love
the 992.
Yeah,
992 is a great line of 911s.
But I still say, if you look at the 991 GT3s, I still like the regular GT3 with the manual the best. I love the GT2 RS. I love the GT3 RS, 991.2. But then just the regular 991.2 with a manual, it's like perfect. It's like a perfect car. You know, I love that thing.
So. When do we run out of GT3s with internal combustion engines? But what point do they shut that line down?
8 years from now or so.
That's it? That's all we have
probably
left?
Probably.
The last of the V8 Interceptors.
You ever hear Porsche talking about that moment?
No, I've heard them say weird things. Like, I had a very senior engineer, one of the guys who worked on the 918, and he was wrong, but about 4 years ago he looked at me and goes, Porsches won't have steering wheels in 10 years.
That's a funny comment.
And I said, what?
That's actually a sense of humor.
He goes, you don't understand what's going on with autonomy. Then I talked to somebody from BMW, and they're like, yeah, we're 50 years away from cars driving themselves. Like, it's never going to happen, you know? And I was like, okay,
he didn't say they would drive themselves. He just said they would have steering wheels.
Use your eyeballs. Point with your eyeballs.
That's it. Then you saw him wandering a 7-Eleven parking lot at 3 in the morning.
No, but look.
You're not a Porsche engineer.
There's this point
they
coming.
They won't have wheels.
There's this point coming really soon.
They'll be like a Minotaur.
There's a point coming soon when it's going to be.
Porsche Minotaur.
Minotaur.
Yeah, it'll be like this.
Half man, half car.
Half man. Deer legs is what the Porsche deer legs. What are you talking about, dude?
So there's a point coming. There's a point coming when it'll be cheaper to build an electric Toyota Corolla than a gasoline-powered one. And when that happens, economies of scale take over. Then it just becomes cheaper for everyone to make electric vehicles. And then gasoline prices will be $30 a gallon.
Okay, now.
Yeah. Wait a second. If no one's buying gasoline, why is it going up to 30 a gallon? I don't want it to be 30 cents
a gallon.
Because
it's a corrupt business, Zuckerman.
It'll be 30 cents a gallon for a year, and then they'll stop pumping it and refining it and shipping it and going to war over it. And then it's like horses. You talk to anyone who owns a horse lately? Like,
yes, that's true.
Okay, how about this? It'll be like horses. So you could do it.
Make the noise of the price going up. What did you do?
My concern about the entire world having electric cars is Texas this week. The disaster these folks are dealing with down there, where their electrical grids are shut down. There's no electricity.
Yeah, well, don't live in Texas. That's an easy solution.
I understand that, but let's, you know, now everybody's got an electric car down there. How the hell do you charge it if this continues, or the Russians pull the plug and there's some sort of sabotage and we don't have electricity for 2 weeks? What happens? We just don't drive?
I mean, what if they blow up a refinery? I mean, you know, I mean, it's a
serious question.
It is a serious question. We'd have to.
There are lots of refineries, but
as a country, we'd have to get serious about infrastructure. You know, and we have a new, hopefully, you know, a new president who's serious about infrastructure. It's a solvable problem. You're going to have to update
Corvettes.
The grid. He loves Corvettes. You're going to have to update the grid. But, you know.
But when you can't charge your car, you're kind of fucked, right? So you have to then keep an old car around.
Well, but here's the thing, right? So battery technology, like already, you know, you can get a Tesla that has like a 500-mile range. Lucid's going to have that. In 5 years, cars might have thousands of miles of range on the battery. You wouldn't have to charge them. In fact, you can run your
you get a Mophie for your car, right? Well, you have something in the house.
The Lucid,
those don't work either.
I can't remember.
My Mophie breaks all the time.
The Lucid, I think you can do a thing where if you have solar panels, you can plug in, charge, and use it as a storage battery, and then it can feed power back to your house.
1 mile per day from the sun.
No, you can get a lot more than that.
I just want someone to start talking about that plan, that when everything shuts down, this is how you would make your car work.
But again, if there's no electricity, gas pumps don't work, you know? I mean, they're electric, you know. Like
at the garage, I have some gas and I have a Max,
that's right,
which I can push and get it to start.
Okay,
right. And I'm going places.
Then Zuckerman's got a tube he can put in other people's tanks and suck it out. He does that all the time.
I've heard about that tube.
Yes,
smelling a little gassy right now.
Sometimes that tube is connected to another man. It's like, what, Zuckerman? What are you talking about? Good Lord. Yeah.
It was wallet.
What's that?
To his wallet.
To his wallet as I suck the money out of his wallet. Why does that make you laugh?
Because it's so stupid and funny.
You say that
all
the time. I like
that Spike could do the show by himself if he needed to. You know, it's great.
I may have to soon. Hey, how you doing? I don't want to do this. I got to get back to work.
Gotta make money.
I'll be on the show, Spike. Jerry, you're not even here. Get up. Get out of here, rich boy. Oh, man.
I've arrived when Spike starts imitating me, so this will be good.
I don't have you down yet.
No one has me down. No one wants to have me down. That's the problem.
There's a lot of that, but you can get my beard. No, you're tough. You have to find a little hook and then exaggerate it times 50.
I'm very secretive.
And then make them say things they don't normally say and hope they don't get mad.
Corpses.
Where's Zuckerman,
the bodies?
In a weird way, is his own caricature. He's a caricature of himself. And it's not hard. You just have to repeat the actual things he says. And they're jokes. And that's what's great about it. God help us.
Anyways, GT3 we like. You guys are GT3 owners. Do we like?
I'm
are you buying? Are you buying?
I'm on the list. Okay. I'm on the list.
Spike?
If he's on the list, I'm on the list. Right. That's the way those usually work. Yeah. But,
right.
You know, the GT3 pattern is you get the GT3 and then you're in love, and then they go, here's the GT3 RS. And you're like, I have the less than. And then you get that, and then it's.
Then they're just pulling the stuffing out of you.
He got ash all over himself.
Shit. Oh, my God. You're ruining the brand new furniture.
It's coming off.
Look at him rubbing it in.
No, he's flickering it off.
Bit, yeah, now sit on it.
And really get I owe you a cushion.
Nap and weave.
But
the
that's what happens. Zuckerman always ends up with two of the first special car. I've noticed that. Like he had a GT3 RS that he loved so much, and you were sharing it with Moise, and then you had two of them suddenly, and then a GT2 RS. We shared one.
Right.
I didn't like the seat, so you got another one. You get the white one, which still exists now. It's in the group.
I went way.
So
too
will
crazy.
You do? Will you do shit like that again?
No.
You
no,
won't
no, no,
be
no,
impulsive.
No. I won't be that impulsive. I'm not going to bring everybody into the circle of sharing, because then I end up administering everything. I can do it with you.
And you had to sell the GT3 RS 4.0, which you should sue some of them.
That's fine.
Come on.
Okay. Listen.
Easy come, easy go.
You know what I have in the garage. Come on.
There's still more stuff in there, yeah.
There's still more stuff.
As long as you're the launch, as long as you're the launch, I don't care what you have.
Well, this is Johnny. You have to understand, it's like you got to have new experiences. You got to move on. With Porsche, they're always making great shit.
Yeah, but they nothing's like that 4.0.
That was a great car, but listen,
is true.
I had it, and I had two of them, and it was time.
Yeah. It's really Moise. You know, Moise sent me a picture yesterday. He's on the Porsche Drive app, and I told you he hit that deductible on the first one he turned in, and he got a C4S, 992 C4S, and then he sent me a picture yesterday of the right front fender all scratched up.
And he's wondering
and he's laughing. He's like, look at this. He goes, I did it again. He's so happy.
And that was a problem with him. And then, so then he had the going out of business sale. He was getting divorced, going out of business after 25 years.
That's the thing you want to avoid.
And that was, it had to go. And I didn't feel like, I had to make a choice. He was a co-owner of that 300 SL Roadster, the blue one. I bought him out of that.
Yeah, smart.
Okay,
smart.
I had to make that choice.
I mean, come on, that's like, yeah. That's an investment piece.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not coming back. A 4.0 can come back. But whatever. They can all come back.
I was speaking more to the damage. It's not fun to watch nice things. Watch movies.
We have a very
nice
different
things.
Philosophy. He actually, you know when you go to Bill's and there's that tree that has all of those birds?
Yeah.
Okay? They have four different breeds. What are those things?
Cranes,
the long
herons.
Necks, cranes and herons. Yeah.
Big poopers.
Buckets and gallons of shit coming down. Acidic shit. Berry shit. And he would park right under the tree. And then he'd get the shits on him, on the car. And I'd say, what are you doing? He goes, I like it when it's dirty. It was, and
dirty's fine. Bird shit, not good. Ever.
Right.
Yeah.
And scratches and scrapes.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's
and groceries in the front boot left there for a few days.
And sweat. Sweat.
All right.
People ask, when's Moise going to be on the pod? He's not. He's on it right now.
Can you do
Can
him?
You imagine giving him access to spread his bad habits to the people of the world. We don't want other people doing what Moise is doing to cars. No, absolutely not.
But we love Moise.
We love him.
And Moise, having made his fortune and now retired, he is. I love where he at. He's in a different universe, on a different planet, different time zone. He'll call me up Thursday at 10:45 and say, "What are you doing? What the fuck do you think I'm doing? I'm working. I'm sweating. I'm stressing. Not a man of leisure.
Yes.
I'm counting corpses."
He did that to me this week, too. Oh, Moise, what do you want? It's 11 o'clock in the morning. I got shit to do. What?
You know, he's in the rat race.
What it
I'm
was.
On the wheel.
Yeah, it was. He goes, "I'm sending you a text right now. Look at the fender. Look what I did to the Porsche." Oh, great. Good. That makes me happy. That is not my car. What did you drive over here, Johnny?
I drove a Dodge Charger Hellcat Red Eye.
So really? A Red Eye?
797 horsepower.
What?
Family sedan.
Wow.
With 305 tires on all four corners.
Does that make you feel super aggressive like all the other Dodge boys out
no,
there?
No, but I'll tell you.
Those cars handle well, though. They're
well,
fun.
Well, I don't know well, but... Like on the freeway, I'm mellow because you're sitting on a couch. You know, it's a love seat. It's this ridiculously soft, comfortable car.
You could do the dirty deed,
but that oh yes, you could, Paul.
Yes, we know
you
about
could
that.
Lieberman it.
Yeah.
The Lieberman.
Although
Liebowitz
now,
the
sadly,
seat.
There's a car seat in the back of this one. But I went up. I was at Newcombs this morning, and coming down, I ran a couple 911s off the road. Not like off. You know, they pulled over to let me by. So it's
really
it's,
because you were on
it's
them.
An incredible car. It should not do what it does.
But it makes you want to do burnouts all the time.
Oh, that's the greatest burnouts.
Yes.
Oh. And they handle it.
They're burnouts that are very easy to control.
Super easy. But they figured out a way also. You can do burnouts and that doesn't affect the tires. I don't know how. It's something with the suspension where the wheels just stay so flat that they don't like little sections don't come off. It's great.
Wow.
So I've been doing burnouts like crazy. Look at the rear tires. They look fine.
So wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. 86 grand. Awesome, awesome, awesome car.
Okay. If you had 86 grand to spend,
I'd buy a Land Cruiser.
But go ahead. Okay, that's the answer.
But I would have this. I would absolutely have this. I actually had one for a year. It was great.
But if you're a dad that wants something he can have fun with on the weekends and then cart his family around.
I just want to see the look. I want to come up fast on people in that car. Because I know, you know, the 911's got out of your way because they looked in the rearview mirror and they see a giant thing coming up quick. It's scary. It's terrifying.
Well,
it's intimidating.
I think they're like shocked. Then they're like annoyed. Then they're like, wow, he's actually not like backing off. And like, you know, I'm not like honking or anything, but they're slowing me down. So, but yeah, it's a good car.
4,000 pounds.
Well, 4,500 pounds.
That's a lot of
it's half. Humongous. Yeah, yeah. But 800 horsepower, like, who cares, you know? Physics don't care with that much power. But, no, my kid, my three-year-old's been in it, and he's like, you know, I took him up to, you know, just show him how fast it goes, and he's like, "Daddy, you're not driving fast enough now." And then, like, my wife took him to daycare in the brand-new Alfa Romeo, and he's, like, crying because he's not in the Hellcat, you know. So it's
poor kid's little brain. His brain sloshing around and separating.
Yeah.
Separating.
Don't do what three-year-olds tell you to do, Johnny. You're going to get
in trouble. I'm not – I would like to buy it. I'm not going to buy it, but it's a great car. It's a great car. It's super cool. You should
good
request
color.
One. You should request – it look, this one looks I like
was a cop
car.
Ask you that.
Blue with black wheels.
Yeah.
What should I request? Because I'm out of press cards right now.
The number one thing to drive besides the Pure Sport is the BMW M2 CS.
Yes.
That is
want to get that
Zuckerman?
Zuckerman would enjoy that more.
You got to buy it. It's,
you have to get it, and you
car.
Have to let me and Dell take it for a spin.
It is.
Absolutely. You sent me the name for the BMW rep, right?
No, but I can give it to
up.
You. Yeah, yeah. But like, no, it is.
Let's do it.
Just
Zuckerman's a huge BMW aficionado.
So it's like the first time I drove a GT3. First time I drove a 997 GT3, and I was just like, holy shit! You get that feeling. You're like, this is really what cars should feel like.
Really?
And I've felt it.
This is the blue one Farrah had too, right?
Yeah, same car. And I felt that way when I got in the Shelby, the GT350R, not the regular, but the R. It's like, oh my God, this is how cars should feel. That's how this one feels.
Do you guys ever just think about what years are the greatest years for cars? Like there's golden eras of
it's
TV
2021.
And film.
Like, it's 2021.
Is it really?
Because
it feels that way, doesn't
have
it?
Have you driven, I mean, you drove the Pure Sport. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Again, like... it's all downhill.
But 10 years from now, are we sounding stupid because there's something even better? 2031.
I don't know. I think we've hit
right?
a high point.
Oh, it's, yeah, we're at it's Everest, pretty good.
Yeah, Everest
I mean,
level.
The GT2 RS was like, there's no way to improve on this. You know, like, that's the ultimate thing. And then, like, McLaren did the 720. And like,
yeah,
and
it's amazing.
And you got one that would, like, stay together. It's like, wow, this is even better.
Right.
And then, like, Ferrari, they once in a while, like, you'll get, like the super fast is like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know? And again, my favorite thing about, I was talking, Magnus has one up this morning, and I was talking to him, and like Jethro Bovington, when we did a thing with Superfast, and he said, it's annoyingly good because, you know, when somebody spends over 400 grand on a car, you want it to suck because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And it's annoyingly good. Like, it's they're actually buying a great car.
How about, you know, 4 million for the Chiron
Pure
you know, Sport?
Fuck them. Even if,
yeah,
you know,
it's
no
worth
matter
it.
What, yeah.
What about this Pagani? That this guy was flying. So the guy in the gas station.
The Huayra Roadster.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, the car. Here, I'll show it to you. This guy cracked me up because he's at the gas station. The conserve fuel, by the way. The cheap gas station in Brentwood.
Of course. Of course.
I'm
with the bad parking lot.
I'm getting my propane there so I can smoke my cigars in the backyard. And here he is, right?
Yeah, that's a Huayra Roadster. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He fills it up with 91, and then he comes up and he's like, give me a couple packs of Marlboro Lights. And he's got the black leather jacket, and he's, you know, the gray hair, and you can tell he's someone's disappointing husband. But the whole vibe of it on a Thursday night, I loved. I was just like, this guy, he knows he's not going to be around long.
I mean,
he's going to smoke cigarettes. He's going to drive this fucking car.
The good news is it's an AMG motor, so it's bulletproof. So you can put 91 in it all day long. Yeah, AMG builds all the Pagani. They always have. Every Pagani's had an AMG motor.
And what
motor.
Is the Pagani market like? Because I've heard it's not a good aftermarket, that it's hard to unload these Paganis.
I thought Pagani, you had to sell it back to Pagani.
I don't know the details of that.
No, I heard one came under my nose recently, and I said, what's the story here? And the story is the buyer is in here, and he's not going to get anywhere near what he bought in for. You know, and it's a great car.
I think the problem with Pagani, when they started, you know, the Zonda was like, you know, 400 grand. So it was a lot of money, but it wasn't crazy money. Somehow the Zonda is still in production and they're 15
right.
million new, you know, the ones you can buy now. And the Huayra has crept up in cost from like a million to now they want like 3, 4, 5 million. Yeah, you're not, it's a great car. But
is that car worth 3 or 4 or 5 million?
Maybe new, I don't know.
What's the markup? What's the profit margin on that car, do you think?
The problem is because of the AMG motor, you're sort of like, it's an AMG motor. Why am I spending, you know, like,
yeah.
I think that's the problem. Now, it's a great car, and it's fast as hell. You know, they're, I don't know, I forget the horsepower. Insane horsepower. They're super light. They're all super carbon fiber, super light. And they handle great. The new one, the Huayra BC and the BC Roadster. I haven't driven them, but like people I trust, like Jethro, have driven them, and they're like, it's fucking brilliant, you know. And I drove a regular Huayra, and it was incredible. I don't pay attention to like used car prices, so I don't know.
Right, right.
But they're great. $3 million, sure. I don't know. Like, you know,
where will we go after
great.
This? $12 million cars? Is that going
to
be the new
F1s
norm?
Are flopping around for 12 to 20 million. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean the new cars.
Oh,
I mean, not too long ago, a $400,000 car was expensive. That was it. You know, something new came out. It was $400,000. You went, my God, now that's a joke.
I talk to product planning people all the time. They're like, there's a real hole in the market at $750,000. Like,
that's insane.
There's a lot of half-million-dollar cars and million, but $750,000 is a
rare.
We've
got
to explore that white space.
I was told there's an imaginary barrier at $700,000 with a lot of buyers. Yeah. That if you price something $700 or a little less, you're going to sell it. But once you push past $700, it was this person's opinion, it's hard and it gets tricky.
So I was having this conversation. I looked at the guy and I'm like, fuck off. Like,
so bad. My jaw's on the ground.
And then when you're talking about houses, you're like, oh, $700,000. That's nothing.
Oh, that's cheap. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. What happens, you know, when do the banks move in and start mortgaging out these cars? And that seems like a viable play.
But look at Bugatti, yeah, right?
Right.
Like they had those Devos, and like, the Devo was either 5 or 8 million a pop. I can't. It was a crazy number. They had 40. They sold out before one was even built.
Yeah,
they sold. So it was either you know, what's 5 times 4? 20. So there's either 200 million or it was, you know, whatever, 5 times 8 million.
Sold out according to
sold
them.
Sold out.
According to them.
No, but they,
nobody's checking on these numbers to see if they fulfill these orders.
I know they've sold.
Remember, of course, the Zagata was sold out too, except when we called, there was one for us to buy.
No, but like I know they've sold 415 or so Chirons out of a planned 500, and they sold all 450 Veyrons. Like Bugatti will do it. It has enough brand cachet. There's enough people that'll do it. And that's why they limit it like that. But I mean, crazy money. Like, absolutely. Because remember, the Veyron was $1 million, and that was insane. And then the test was 2.5, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, 6 years
And then it
later.
Just keeps going.
Yeah. And the thing when you drove the Pierce Bar, that one was 3.9 million.
You're like the frog in the water.
And it's like
they put you in the cold water, they turn up the heat, and you never know you're going to boil.
It does do things that other cars don't do.
It really does. Yeah.
But is that worth $4 million?
Well,
I don't know.
Describe worth. Will you pay it? Like, if you had it, would you buy it? Like,
probably.
It's worth it, you know?
Well, I talked to Jamie a little bit about, and he was the driver, about who's buying the car. Anecdotally, he said some funny things. Like, he said, you know, it's not your celebrities. It's not your, you know, known CEOs. He goes, the guys, you know, I show the car to a lot are, they go, what do you do? He goes, I make coat hangers. He's a coat hanger guy.
He's some wealthy industrialist.
That's a metaphor. No, the people that buy Bugattis are like arms dealers, pornographers. Let me finish what I'm saying. For profit college. Go ahead.
And you'll understand. It was people in such boring businesses, and this was my opinion, not his, in such boring businesses that they needed this flash because they made coat hangers, right? So they have $1 billion for making coat hangers. But I need something exciting in my life as opposed to your LeBron James, who's probably not going to be caught dead. Could afford it, but not, you know, going to be caught dead in it.
I know an ex-Bugatti employee who has said, like, you know, the very worst people on the planet are attracted to these. And they're like, you know, again, like arms dealers, the guys that own Pornhub.
Prisons. That's changing. And I think that's part of the strategy of giving us all these cars and us realizing how great they are. I think they're changing that marketplace right now. Well, this conversation has just changed that marketplace.
And I'll also say, I've driven, I mean, probably 5 Veyrons and now I've driven 2 Chirons. And the Pure Sport is different. It's all the others are magnificent, and they
glide, they are. They're great,
and they're just incredible.
Were those Veyrons, if they were the same model?
They weren't the same model. No, I drove, but
all 5 were different.
No, there was. I've driven one regular Veyron, one Grand Sport, which was the regular convertible. I drove the Super Sport. I drove the Vitesse, which is the Super Sport convertible, and I drove another Vitesse.
Did they all seem to be of the same build quality? They were all
exquisite. Yeah. They're incredibly built. Like that, and that's the thing with the Pagani. It's like 80% really good build quality, and like a Koenigsegg is about 40% really good build quality. The Veyrons are as good as cars get. You know, the Bugattis.
All right, Zuckerman. Let's try before we go.
Yes, we have a new segment here.
Oh, we have a new segment.
Guilty Pleasure.
Did you come up with a name for it?
Well, it's Zuckerman's Guilty Pleasure. I want to tell the audience that
What the hell are you guilty about?
Hold on.
It's not. He's got to set up. Look, in the world of segments, all right, you've got to set up your segment, and then you got to go back and set it up again.
Educate me.
Hold on. I'm trying. And then you set it up again. You set it up 2 or 3 times. You hear what I'm saying? So these are real Halloween costumes. All right, Paul, do you understand? It's Halloween. We've got some kids backstage. They've got some costumes on. We're going to bring them out. It's late night's new Halloween. You see what I'm saying?
So yes, it's Zuckerman's advice. Dear Zuckerman.
It's what?
This is Dear Zuckerman.
Right. You've all heard of Dear Abby?
This is Dear Zuckerman.
Who writes, people write in letters and Abby answers them. These are actual letters, as I understand it. That were sent to various Dear Abbeys across, and Zuckerman instead is going to answer the letter.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. And I'll have you know, this is from the New York Times advice column.
Yeah, okay. Right. And you sent me a few of these, all right? This one is called No Food Talk at the Dinner Table. And here's the question. I frequently share meals safely with an old friend who critiques how much I eat. If I finish my meal, she says, well, you certainly enjoyed that. She herself eats small portions and usually leaves half her meal on her plate. She's thin, and while my weight is normal, I take her statements as implicit criticisms. What should I do? Zuckerman.
You should punch her in the fucking face. It's not implicit criticism. It's explicit criticism from a passive-aggressive crone. She's not a nice person. She's not your friend. Call her out on it.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Can I say
what
something?
Abusive
Can
behavior.
I say this is probably the, I don't know, 10,000th podcast I've been a guest on. He used the word crone.
Crone.
That's a first.
That's a very
That's
common.
Very good.
So you don't have to exaggerate him, like I said. Yeah, she's an old crone.
The crone. That's like dotard. Yes, that's you pulled out the like.
That is
the,
not
the,
how
the,
Abby.
The thesaurus from 1920.
I never read the advice. I just read the problems. I know what the advice is.
The funniest part of the letter for me, Zuckerman, is she's thin, and while my weight is normal...
So according to me.
According to me. What do you consider normal?
326.
I'm a normal 400-pound jumbo. No, maybe you're not. And that was a real letter, so thank you for letting us use it, even though you didn't. Okay, here's another one. Now, you know what these are, right? Is this your stupid thumb in the photograph?
Yeah,
talk about
pointing.
A crone thumb.
I was pointing to the punchline.
It looks like an old man's thumb.
It is.
Over a letter. Oh. Or a penis. Oh, my God. Okay, this one's finders keepers. My mother-in-law died recently.
Great start. This is a really good
Look
start.
At her laughing. Just laugh. What the hell, Zuckerman? And my husband and I have been spending evenings and weekends going through her things. It's a lot of work! Exclamation point. I found a single candlestick with a note from a deceased cousin. What? Apparently, the candlestick is part of the family's immigration story, and the cousin asked that it be kept in the family. My husband plans to call around to see who wants it, but I think I deserve it. I'm family, and I found it. I want to sell it and use the money to refurbish my flute. Thoughts?
Okay. Lady.
And thumb.
Lady, really, your flute, the flute you stole from junior high that's still full of junior high spittle. Come on. No one wants to hear you play a flute. I never want to hear a flute played in my life. Okay, sell it. Sell it for $30, whatever that candlestick is worth, and go out and get some food. But it's his candlestick.
That's my question. What the fuck could a candlestick be worth? Like, unless it's like, you know, they're like the Romanovs, and it was
right.
Like, you know.
They should kill each other with it like Clue in the parlor.
Mindy's
a horrible people. Your husband's, obviously, she's saying her husband's lazy. She really resents having to help him and his lazy family. Okay, and you're a horrible person too. You're all horrible.
But can I just point out a couple parts of the paradoxical nature of the letter itself? Apparently, the candlestick is part of the family's immigration
story. Of course,
story,
it's important.
And the cousin asked that it be kept in the family. But I think I deserve it, so I can sell it.
For a flute.
To maintain my flute.
But here's, if the mother-in-law died, there's got to be something more valuable than the candlestick to sell to fix the flute. Something.
I know these people are picking corn out of shit. This is not a very successful
like a
family.
Ring. Isn't there a ring or a necklace you can sell for the fucking flute?
But a flute is not expensive, and you're only refurbishing it.
I don't know. A flute could be expensive.
Yeah, nobody buys a flute. They steal it from band. In high school,
yes,
I'm telling
true.
You.
Right. I stole an upright bass from
yes,
my
that's
high
what I'm saying.
I stole a baritone horn.
I could poke all sorts of holes through this story. She wants to do something
this
else.
This is a fake letter.
Why do we talk about cars, Spike?
You really stumbled
on something here.
We're done. We're at the end of our podcast.
The whole podcast could be.
Dear Abby Zuck, or whatever we're calling it. We need two segment names.
And Zuckerman.
Dear Zuckerman. I'll just say that. Dear Zuckerman, here's a new one. My husband always went to a barber who also took care of his ear hair. Since the pandemic began, my husband trims his own hair and ignores his ears. I told him he looks unkempt, but he waved me away with, "Men have hairy ears." So I bought him a trimmer, which has gone unused. He needs the manscaping 3.0. I think it's important we try to look nice for each other, and I can't stand his disregard for my feelings. Am I wrong, wife?
Oh, God, I can't stand his disregard. Okay, lady. Okay, I guarantee you that in his mind, there's 10 things about your appearance he hates, and he just sucks it up. So I'm sure he's a pig. I'm sure his hair, your ears are disgusting, and you're no treat yourself.
Oh, God. And there's Dear Zuckerman, our new segment.
Wow. I feel like he's not cheating on her. He's not trimming his ear hair, so there's...
Okay, yeah. If she wanted real advice, instead of nagging him, no man wants to be nagged. Go up to him one day and say, look, we're going to have some fun. Let me please do your ear. Sit down, and maybe afterwards I'll give you a little kepi.
A little what?
Kepi. You know what
head,
kepi.
Head, yeah.
That's Yiddish.
He's not, you're not really Jewish.
He's not really Jewish.
Mike is a fake Jew.
Let me get in my canoe right now. Yeah. You know, I don't know your strange words.
The quickest way to a man's heart is through his penis. So you could just...
Can you believe that someone's writing a letter about their husband's ear hair?
New York fucking Times.
But here's that's the thing. All, these are all from the New York Times.
From the Sunday Style section. I can't believe it. I can't believe the New York Times is printing this. And it's a guilty pleasure. I never read the advice. The advice is a waste of time. It's well-balanced. It's thoughtful. It's considerate. It's a waste.
But a Dear Zuckerman in the New York Times, that's what they need.
They need
that
some...
would really get their readership up.
But
we don't want to hear that problem solved. We want someone to point out how stupid the letter writer is.
That's what we want. That's my point. And maybe, I don't know if you guys can explain it, but like, who the fuck would write that letter? Like, keep that in the bedroom. Who would air that nationally?
The wells of resentment. Can you imagine that house is like?
Could you imagine Zuckerman? Having a problem with anybody, and writing the fucking New York Times to solve your problem?
She's turned his ear hair, which he can't see, into disregard for her feelings. Can you imagine having to talk to that person?
I bet he is doing it passive aggressively.
I
think he's absolutely doing it.
That's farting. Remember Ernest Borgnine?
He knows it'll keep her away.
What was the Ernest Borgnine story?
That was the Dutch oven treatment. It's listed on his divorce with Ethel Merman.
Yes.
That she listed as one of the reasons for divorce, the Dutch oven treatment, that he holds me under our sheets and passes gas.
Borgnine gas.
Can you imagine? That's in a legal document. Go Google it.
That made me
like Ernest Borgnine. He seemed like a fun guy.
when I lived in New York, I had this idiotic fantasy of trying to be a novelist, but I met all these other writers, and I met this one guy who actually had a book coming out, but he, by the way, 25-year-old schmucko, he wrote the Cosmo sex advice thing. When it's like, you know, it's like, how do I please my man? He's like, oh, you must like tickle his balls. Like, it was a guy, it was a 25-year-old intern who was writing the Cosmo sex advice. He never got laid. My buddy never got laid. You know, it was ridiculous. So it's got to be fake, is my
tickle
point.
Tickle his balls.
Whatever.
I think we need to end
it's the worst
25-year-old failed
podcast
writer.
There.
Like the sex tips. You know what I mean? Like, he's watching German porn, like printing it.
We have discussed it all, and I'm afraid of where this conversation is going to go if I continue.
The FCC is going to be here next week.
No, it's completely unregulated. It's just the dads who say I had to turn it down because my family was in the car when Zuckerman said this. Yeva, whatever word you use.
Kepi.
Kepi.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Well, we've said everything we need to say here. It's been another terrific show. Thank you, Johnny Lieberman, for coming by. Thank you, Zuckerman, for opening up your home and bringing us delicious Mexican food. Sorry about the ashes all over your white couch.
Sorry about the spoiled upholstery.
The spoiled upholstery.
Outdoor. You bought white outdoor upholstery. Come on. Look, in L.A., the dirtiest
the
city on earth.
We're leaving in a minute, and it's your problem. And that's it. We hope you all are enjoying your time here. As I understand it, this whole thing's about to end. This is a pandemic of ours, so get in your quarantine while you can get it. And we'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.